with melting heart and weeping eyes. My guilt is so, for mercy cries. What shall I do?
Welcome, friends, to another broadcast of Morsels for Zion's Poor.
Satan has a counterfeit for every genuine spiritual activity. Those who promote a religion which appeals to the flesh of men generally deal in these counterfeits. Where this fool's gold appears in all of its glory is where the emissaries of darkness will be found peddling their wares to those who seek a religion which panders to their free will, design, and tradition. These purveyors of error generally appear in many ways to be genuine. Yet the fact that they glory in something other than Jesus Christ and Him crucified, rejoicing in and promoting signs and wonders, while busily gathering a following, shows them to be those whom the Apostle Paul describes as false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. When Paul said, "But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world," he is not simply expressing his own personal preference, but is defining the very nature of gospel truth and the preaching of it. When the Spirit of God is present, he will always glorify Christ and not himself. When the eyes of men are turned away from the centrality of the work of Christ in redemption, then they have departed from the gospel and fallen into vain jangling and the indulgence of the religiosity of the flesh. This is why the Apostle Paul said, "For I determine not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." One of the most prolific parlor tricks of these angels of light is that of staging a theatrical and emotional display in which they showcase their talent to slay men in the spirit, as they would have us believe. We find no scriptural example of anything remotely like the performances of these charlatans and religious hucksters. There are indeed genuine cases in the scriptures where men were slain by the spirit, but it is never associated with the theatrics of men. In fact, there was no one even present most of the time, other than the Lord and the person slain. Daniel said, "Therefore I was left alone, and when I heard the voice of his words, then I was in a deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground." John tells of a similar experience in the book of the Revelation, as he saw the glory of the ascended Christ. "And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead." We also read of the experiences of Manoah, Ezekiel, Joshua, the disciples on the Mount of Transfiguration, and of course the Apostle Paul. It is interesting that the direction of the fall of those who were slain in the Spirit in the Scriptures is face down. Yet the babbling slayer's victims always fall backwards for more theatrical effect. Over and over again we read of the true worshipers of God falling upon their faces in obedience to the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. The only record in the Scriptures that we have of those who fell backwards at the manifestation of His glory is those who came to arrest Him in the garden, along with Judas, His betrayer. Jesus saith unto them, "I am He," and they went backward and fell to the ground. When a man is truly slain in the Spirit, he will fall upon his face in worship at the overwhelming glory of the true and living God. Christ alone will be the object of his desire and praise, and he will be brought to a place of self-loathing and repentance, even as Job expressed, "I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes." True repentance always acknowledges the holiness of God, the justice of God, and one's own abject wickedness and unworthiness to stand in His presence.
How dreadful now my guilt appears. In childhood years,
if you'd like a free transcript of this broadcast, email us at forthepoor@windstream.net. That's forthepoor@windstream.net.